wish those girls could stay here.
More less secure, less likely.
Is this right? Is this right to go?
They get obnoxious. But then they discover that they're superior. Let's open with hymn number 2.
Virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word,
announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Graciously forgive us all our sins and abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. We pray thee that by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt establish in our hearts a confident faith in thy mercy, and teach us also to be merciful to our neighbor, that we may not judge or condemn others, but willingly forgive all men, and judging only ourselves, lead blessed lives in thy fear, through thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. This fourth Sunday after Trinity is found in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, the 17th through the 19th and the 24th and 25th verses. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lion shall feed together. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 18th through the 23rd verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Here ends the epistle. Forgive our sins, O Lord, lest the heathen say, where is their God? Help us, O God of our salvation, and for the glory of thy name deliver us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O God, thou sittest in the throne judging right. Be a refuge for the oppressed in times of trouble. Hallelujah. Chapter of Luke, the 36th through the 42nd verse. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 349.
Thank you.
mercy and peace in God our Father and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, the 8th through the 13th verse. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, and I have shown, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall turn it aside? Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Reveal unto us thy Son, Jesus Christ, in them. Amen. The world is full of people who are blind and deaf, which is strange to say, considering that most can see and hear just fine. But God says they are blind and deaf. They cannot see or hear what is important, even though they have eyes and ears. They are ignorant of the nature of this world, of the God who created it, and of their own purpose in it. But their ignorance is worse than ignorance because they actively oppose the truth. They argue against it and consider it foolishness. The world is full of deception because the prince of this world, who is Satan, is the father of lies. Not all are so blind. God has opened the eyes and ears of a few to the knowledge of eternal things. Through those few, he gives sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. They are the Lord's witnesses in the world. And it is through their witness of his truth that God opens eyes and ears to believe it. Those who stubbornly remain in blindness cannot change how things are. A lie does not become the truth just because most people believe it. And therefore they cannot change God's plan for the world and for themselves by denying it. They will see it in the end, and they will even confess that God is true. All men are liars. The Apostle Paul declared that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What is a natural man? Well, that's what even the wisest scholar or philosopher is without the Spirit of God. God is telling you in this verse that there will always be certain things which men will never be able to comprehend or even to discern at all. They will not be able to see the things of the Spirit of God. What things are those? Well, first off, they're all the workings of His Spirit which take place behind the scenes that are outside the senses of men, and therefore they're hidden. Left to ourselves, we cannot see, hear, taste, smell, or even in some mystical way sense the movement and working of the Spirit of God. None of us can. Even when we believe that God is real and that His Spirit is moving and working, we still cannot perceive Him in a natural manner. Our human minds do not want to accept what it is unable to perceive. And therefore our natural mind must remain blind. But just because the things of the Spirit cannot be perceived with natural senses doesn't mean they cannot be known or that they are irrelevant. The hidden workings of God's Spirit is far more important than anything we can see. Spiritual blindness, such as all men naturally have, obscures the critical matters of sin and guilt and death and eternal life, heaven and hell and temptation and redemption and angels and devils. These are not by any means unimportant things. But even the seemingly mundane things in this world bear the mark of God's Spirit, because there's nothing in life that is cut off from His working and power. The single most important matter of the Spirit that men must know is the knowledge of salvation, and yet that is the single greatest blindness that men have. Even if they perceive every other spiritual truth, they are still blind to the compassion of God, to the atonement of Christ, and to the faith which makes men righteous before God. A teacher who is ever so wise can tell you all about the best way to live, but he cannot answer even this simple question which makes all the others meaningless. What must I do to be saved? And thus, as Jesus says in the Gospel, even if you are perfectly taught by such a teacher, you'll never exceed the knowledge of your master, of your teacher. You'll only know as little as he does. We need a different teacher. Not only is the natural man blind to salvation, but when he hears about it, or about the many other things of the Spirit of God, he laughs at them. They are foolishness to him. But this blindness does not only exist in this world, but also in us, who are the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus, because your flesh still finds all these things foolish. The lies of the world appeal to Christians and seem very reasonable because they appeal to our senses and what we can perceive and what our minds can comprehend. And so this brings us to a vital matter that you must consider carefully. The time is going to come, very possibly in most of your lives, when the faith of all Christians will be tested in a most severe manner. Up until now, the lies which have tested your faith have had to do with science and history. The challenge of your faith has been mostly academic. People in books write against the truth of God's Word, or teachers in schools and in universities challenge you with so-called facts. Those who deny the Christian faith have no hard evidence to lay before your eyes to make you believe otherwise, or what little they do have is laughable and easily explained. That is going to change. Your own eyes and ears will be the instruments by which the devil hopes to deceive you. All that you have come to believe concerning the God who created the universe, the fall of man into sin, the coming of God's Christ, your redemption by faith in His blood, all these things will be tested in ways you can hardly comprehend. You could very likely someday see hard physical evidence that all you believe is false. And I am not some prophet to say these things, because Jesus Himself has said it already. God's own word has identified certain signs in the nations, in the churches, and in nature that shall show us that when this time is upon us. Jesus said, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Signs and wonders are physical evidence, things you can see, can hear, taste, and smell. Very few people take those words in the serious manner in which Jesus spoke them. But I want you to consider this, that not every false prophet claims to come from God or to speak for God. Some of them claim to speak for science or history or for some other natural place in this world. They can and they will show signs and wonders that will be so utterly convincing that you will have no explanation for them other than the answer that I or any Christian are able to give when we see such things and say, "This cannot be. This must be a great deception because God has spoken. But you'll have no way to prove with your senses that it is a great deception other than your faith in the Word of God. It could come to the point when God and His Word will be telling you, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes, and really mean it. Because when that time comes, you will have to count your eyes and ears as liars. Never forget that you still have a natural man who is blind and deaf to the things of God's Spirit. Do not let your natural mind prevail over the mind of the Spirit of God. Because the choice is yours. Walk in the flesh and believe its thoughts and evidence, or walk in the Spirit and believe the Word of God, even when the only evidence that you have for God's Spirit are the assurances of His Word. These words which the prophet Isaiah writes are good and are full of much encouragement and comfort for those of us who might endure such times. It shows us that the blindness of this world will only go so far before the Lord God calls all men to account. In other words, though men or devils may attempt to deceive the entire world, the lies won't stop God, nor will they steal salvation from His saints, for His Word will withstand the onslaught. And anchored in His Word, so will our faith. It has dispelled our blindness with the knowledge of the living God, that He is holy and just in all His ways, that He is merciful and full of compassion in His heart, and that He has joined together His holy truth and His everlasting mercy in the person of Jesus Christ, in who alone we can come to know a God who is not only perfectly righteous, perfect friend of sinners. This truth stands forever, and no matter what happens, men cannot change it. No matter how great their deception, Jesus Christ is still the same. Remember His promise. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And we hold Him to that promise every Sunday when we pray, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And God indeed shall grant that request. And more than this, we who remain His children will be His answer on the day when men do their best to deceive the world. Our lesson today is God laying down the challenge to men. Come forth, all you who can see but are blind, and all you who can hear but are deaf. Let us see which one of you can truly give an answer to how the course of this world has been run since the beginning. Which one of you can truly show the former things, can declare the creation of the world? Can you explain the nature of man and deny his fall into sin? What evidence can you bring to contradict the call of Abraham or the deliverance of Israel from bondage in Egypt? What answer can you give to the prophecies of old, which God has fulfilled in His Son, Jesus Christ? Bring forward your evidence, and let us see whether it is just as true, whether it is just and true. And if you cannot do this, then you must respond concerning all that the Lord has revealed. It is truth. The world does this even now. They are attempting to deceive both men and God, but they will fail. That is the comforting word which our Lord here declares. You see how it is. All this time, the wicked men of this world thought that they were in control, that the world was their playground, their courtroom. They did not realize that He who sits in the heavens laughs at their foolish games, because the earth is the Lord's. It was never theirs. It is the Lord who brings forth all the nations of the earth and gathers them together. And it is He who sits on the throne of judgment, not men. And what answer does the Lord give? He is a fair judge. He says, "Now I will bring in my witnesses. Let us see what they have to say." "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. You, dear Christians, are the witnesses of the Lord because he has opened your eyes to behold the truth. He has shown you his holiness. He has shown you your sin. He has shown you his mercy and his Christ. He has given you his righteousness by faith. He has chosen you so that you might believe and be his witness against all the lies of this world. That is your purpose here. He has opened your eyes and ears so that even though the world is deceived, even at those times when it seems like all faith must fail, yet you are still there, watching what happens and declaring, nevertheless, thus saith the Lord. Nevertheless, my God lives. He is the only creator. No man, no force of nature, no other creature of the universe. He alone is the Savior. Not politics, not false idols, not science, not even an angel coming down from the heavens and showing signs and wonders. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed that there, when there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. When the Lord has shown himself to be your Savior, when he kept you in your faith, when he preserved your life from harm, when he did this for his people in every age, it was not some other God, or a force of nature, or mere random chance by which he did these things. It was not through natural means that Christ was born of a virgin, or that he fulfilled all the prophecies of old. It was the Lord. It was no mere human power that worked upon the cross to end the curse of the law of sin and of death. It was the power of the Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ. You now bear witness to these truths. Shall anything that takes place in the future change what God has done in the past? No, because these things which he records in his word have happened. They are real. Christ is real. His cross is real. His salvation is real. And you, dear friends, whether there are few or many of you, are witnesses of the Lord to these things. And so do not fear those who would like to harm you or to silence your witness. The Lord has always had them under his control. And they will not slip out of his hand tomorrow or next year or at any time, and so escape his truth and judgment. Our Lord has declared, he will finish his work. Can any man turn aside or reverse what God shall do? No. Therefore, do not fear men. Do not fear their lies. Do not lose heart, but ever believe that the cause of the Lord our God is just. You are his witnesses. He has given you the eyes and ears of his Spirit so that you should never be blind or deaf again. Guard this witness in your heart and declare it among men without fear. For no matter how many may scoff at you today, God will convert some of them. And all those whom God does not convert will still confess his truth in the end. It is the truth. Even they will have to say. May God our Lord have all praise and glory in his Son Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
us pray. O God, King Eternal, who didst make the seven stars and Orion, and turnest the shadow of the earth into the morning of life, who art our light and salvation, and our portion forever. We, thy children, seek thee now in prayer, and beseech thee to rest thy hand in benediction upon us. Bless us, O Lord, with such faith in thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may believe in him with all our hearts, and trusting in his merits may have the assurance of everlasting life. Bless us from the fountain of thy love with the gracious water of life and the washing of regeneration in the Holy Ghost. Keep us ever within thy care, and as thy glorious creation has been marred by man's sinfulness and lies in travail under the shadow of thy judgment, defend us in all times of danger and save us in every peril. From earthquake and storm, from hatred and war, from tyranny and persecution, from famine and plague, from corruption and rebellion, deliver us. Keep us securely within thy grace, that by reason of our sins and frailty, we may never depart from thee. Help us to grow in grace now and in the time of our vigor, and in the hour of our death, preserve us in the true faith of thy holy name. Grant that we may have inheritance with all thy children, and know the joys of thy adoption in the redemption of our bodies and the resurrection unto life eternal. Make thy face to shine upon thy church, that through her labor the light of thy truth may shine in all the world, that thy way may be known upon earth and thy saving help among all nations. Let her watchman bear thy name in all godliness and purity, and give her people gladness in thy true service. Stretch forth thine arm over our land, that thy power and glory may be seen from shore to shore, in the stately halls of government, in the busy precincts of commerce, in the classroom and on the farm, and in the minds and hearts of men of whatever dignity or position in life, that our people may repent, and that our land may know that thou art Lord over all, and that thou givest thy glory to no other. Be gracious to all our families, that our children may grow in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. To this end, give thy spirit to our parents, that they may be endowed with Christian ideals, and live in obedience to Christ's commandments. Lift up thy countenance, O Lord, upon all who suffer sickness or sorrow, the infirmities of age or the weariness of toil, separation from loved ones or uncertainty in decision, misunderstanding or bitterness, or any other adversity, and grant them thy peace. Show thyself to them as a very present help in time of need, giving them wisdom and understanding, wholeness of mind and body, courage and hope. Amen. We sing hymn number 444.
Christ, to the ones with prayer.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this His precious body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 261. with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.